Rejected because of unbelief. Chapter 70. Master, we know thou art true. We are accustomed to thee always speaking the truth. Now we are faced with a difficulty. Tell us, must we pay tribute which the Romans demand from us? Or must we refuse? What dost thou advise us to do? In a seemingly friendly manner, a few Pharisees speak to the Lord Jesus. They praise him as an honest person, as one who always speaks the truth. But a false glow lies in their eyes, and their hearts are filled with hatred. Anxiously they wait for Jesus' answer. They want to entangle this Nazarene. Their question is a question to entrap Jesus. If Jesus says, you need not pay tribute, you must refuse, they would immediately go to the Romans and accuse him as one who forbids giving Caesar tribute, hence a rebel. However, if he would say, yes, you must pay, for it is your obligation, they would say to the Jews, Jesus is a betrayer. He is a friend of the Romans. False, isn't it? However, the Lord knows what is in their hearts. Just listen to the answer which the Lord Jesus gives. Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me a penny. They show him a Roman penny. The image of Caesar is imprinted on this coin. Whose image is this? The Lord asks. It is the image of Caesar, they promptly answer. Jesus says decidedly, give to Caesar what is his due, and give to God the honor due him. For a while it is quiet. Somewhat abased, the Pharisees stare into space. They can say nothing against this. They cannot accuse Jesus either to the Romans or to the Jews. They go away, ashamed. Jesus manifested to them his omniscience and his wisdom. A little later, a few other men come. It is a prominent group. Who are they? They are Sadducees. Do you remember the Sadducees did not believe the time would come when the dead would arise? They said, dead is dead. We can live merrily and without a care, for no hell or heaven exists. Now the Sadducees come to Jesus with a very peculiar story. However, their purpose is to place the resurrection in a ridiculous light. Listen to what they say. Master, so they begin, at one time there were seven brethren. The oldest married, but shortly thereafter he died. The widow was left alone, for she had no children. The second oldest brother married the same woman, but he also died and had no children. A little later, the same woman became the wife of the third brother. But that marriage didn't last long, for the third brother also died. To be short, all the seven brothers, the one after the other, married this same woman, and they all died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when all the seven brothers will arise, who of them all will have the most right to this woman? Jesus must give an answer. They stare at him with a mocking grin upon their lips. They are very anxious to know what Jesus will say. They do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yes, it is a difficult question, isn't it? Can you answer it? Calmly, the voice of the Savior rings out. You err if you are of the opinion that there is no resurrection, for there certainly is a resurrection of the dead. But marriage does not exist in the resurrection. Marriage is only for this life, not for eternity. Momentarily, Jesus is silent. Then he continues, Have you never read what God says in his word? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not dead. Certainly their bodies rest in the grave, but their souls are alive. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. The Sadducees do not know what to say and go away ashamed. The rulers of the Jews continually tried to entrap Jesus in his words. They fervently hoped this hated Nazarene would say something wrong, but all their efforts failed. The Lord Jesus always would give a fitting answer. Jesus would answer exactly the right thing to all their tricky questions. He answered their questions in such a way they could not accuse him. Do you know why this was so? The Savior knew what dwelt in their hearts. He knew the objective of their questions. He knew their falsehood, their hatred, and their envy. Many people stand by listening to the Lord Jesus. He turns to them and warns them against their rulers. He tells them the Pharisees and scribes are hypocrites who deceive the people. 8 times he pronounces the dreadful woe unto you to these false, deceiving Pharisees and scribes. He pronounces God's judgment upon these rulers. These men stand by, listening to these reprimanding words. Oh, the hatred and envy increase in their hearts. Their eyes sparkle and their fists clench. They tremble from rage and anger. Why? Because they know Jesus is speaking the truth. They are deceivers and hypocrites, but the people must never know it. No, the people must think they are holy, pious men. They are afraid the people sooner or later will believe in the Lord Jesus. If this should happen, they will lose their respect. Oh, if they could only kill him, if only they could silence this mouth. Read this discourse of woes as it is written in Matthew 23, will you please? A money chest stood in the outer court of the temple. Everyone who passed this place would cast some money into it. This money was used for the maintenance of the worship of the Lord. So many things were necessary which all cost money. This also takes place among us in our churches. We collect money in our churches for the poor and pay for the church. This money is used to pay for all things needed in the worship of God. For that very purpose, a large money chest, also called a treasury, stood in the temple at Jerusalem. This chest was emptied from time to time. One time, Jesus was sitting opposite this treasury, and he noticed how many people cast their gifts into it. The rich and prominent Jews put much money into it because they could afford much. The money would jingle loudly. Probably these rich people hoped everyone would hear it. But look, there comes a poor widow woman. She no longer has a husband who works for her and earns her livelihood. This woman also puts some money into this money chest. It is only a few mites. Most likely, some rich people who saw this curled their lips disdainfully. How little! It is only a few mites. Together, these 2 mites are worth slightly more than 1 cent. It is nothing compared to what the rich give. they give much more. The Lord Jesus, who observed all this, takes the part of this widow. He knows what these two insignificant mites mean to her. He knows she gave all she possessed. She has nothing left. Really, the Savior says, this widow gave more than anyone else. All the other people gave of their surplus. They retained enough to be able to buy food. But this widow retained nothing. A lesson is contained in this for you, boys and girls. Of what value is the worship of the Lord to you? Alas, oftentimes the smallest piece of money is for the church. Whoever cannot afford to give more need not give more. But if the Lord has blessed you abundantly so that you can give a quarter or more, and you put a penny or a nickel in the collection plate, it is a shame. Think about this seriously. Suddenly, two disciples of the Lord Jesus come to their master and say, Master, some Greeks have asked us if they may speak with thee. They would like to see thee. Probably they were Jews who no longer lived in the land of Canaan but in Greece. However, it also could be possible they really were Greeks who embraced the Jewish religion. In the Bible, these people are called proselytes. These men have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They have heard a great deal of talk about Jesus. His renown has penetrated into the distant country of Greece, and now that they are in Jerusalem, they would like to see and talk with this wonder-working prophet. How great an honor this is for the Lord Jesus, isn't it? The report of his many miracles has penetrated into that distant country. They even talk about him in foreign lands. But, to the great astonishment of the disciples, Jesus begins to talk about his coming death. He compares himself to a grain of wheat which has been sown in the ground. This grain of wheat dies, but by dying it bears much fruit. This will also happen with the Lord Jesus. He will die so that his people will live forever. No one understands what he means. When Jesus sees the unbelief of the Jewish people, he is troubled. He also is troubled when he thinks of his coming suffering. This is a great humiliation for the Son of God. He is rejected and despised, scorned by his own nation. The Lord Jesus casts his eyes toward heaven and prays. Father, he says, glorify thy name. Suddenly, everyone frightens. A voice from heaven answers him. The multitude do not understand what is said, but they do hear the wonderful voice. Probably many looked up expecting to see something. Some say, it is thunder. However, the Lord Jesus answers, no, it is not thunder. You positively did hear a voice. This voice did not speak to me, for me, but for you, so you would acknowledge that I really am the Messiah. And do the Jews believe now? No, they do not believe. Jesus had spoken about his death, but they do not desire such a king. They want a king who will deliver them from the Romans, but they do not believe in a king who will die. Probably some of them even laughed scornfully. Don't you see the mocking grin on their faces? They think to themselves, he is not the promised Messiah. He is a deceiver. The rulers are not the only ones who reject the Lord Jesus. The common people also reject him. even though the Lord Jesus had performed so many miracles, and they do not believe in him. On the contrary, they even become angry. Hostile glances are cast at Jesus. The Lord Jesus goes away. John says in his gospel, he hides himself from them. Hides? Why? They wanted to harm him. Probably they wanted to stone him, and for this reason he goes away. He does not go away because he is afraid, but because it is not his time to die. Besides, he is not to be stoned, but he will die the accursed death upon the cross. See him leaving the temple for the last time. He goes away with his disciples. Never again will he enter that building. He was rejected by the people and rulers because of their unbelief.